today, but there are other things brewing, believe it or not, inside and outside the Beltway. But to talk for what's happening in Washington with the true insiders, as we do each and every show, let's go to Victoria Jones from Talk Radio News. Victoria, I am certain you had your taxes done months ago.
Yeah, I got an extension, just like Mitt Romney.
You got an extension. I love that.
Yeah.
But see, here's what some people don't understand. Extension doesn't mean you can pay, you know, you can pay in October. It means you have to pay the estimate. You just have to get the paperwork in later.
Exactly.
Yeah, I wish it was an extension the other way. That would have been a different story. All right, no extending this, I guess, but I, in a way, because it was part two, the GSA, it's like the biggest comedy show around. And, of course, Neely, the idiot that was the head of the GSA, who had these memos floating around. Why do people leave a trail, Victoria? That's what I don't understand. He's jabbing the government, saying we can get away with it while we can. Then, of course, if I were his lawyer, I'd tell him to plead the fifth. So now it's more of the same, trying to dig information out of other people with the GSA. But it does make for interesting sound, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And there were two interesting developments, I thought, today. One was you had John Mica, who's the chair of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, going all over CNN this morning saying to Soledad O'Brien that this reaches to the White House and that the White House has attempted to cover this up because it knew about this some time ago and it didn't do anything about it. She asked him repeatedly, well, what evidence do you have for that? Well, tell us about that. What have you got? And he didn't have anything. He said, well, it'll come out. Well, Elijah Cummings, Maryland Democrat, said, I'm a lawyer. I've listened for this kind of thing. Nothing has come out. There isn't anything. They don't have. There's nothing there. There isn't. It just didn't happen. He made it up. He didn't say that. I said that. But the other thing that's interesting is today, House Republicans, because there wasn't much they could do to top Darrell Issa's hearing yesterday, but they found a way. Representative Jeff Denham of California and I think John Mica both threatened to close down the GSA today.
Good luck. That's what I would say. Good luck. Most people don't even know what the GSA is. We didn't know much about it until this big scandal broke with the hot conference in Vegas back in 2010. So that's what really obviously put all the focus on. I'm sure some of the people at the GSA, Victoria, couldn't be too happy because some of them were going on a trip to Hilo, Hawaii this fall that I am certain was canceled.
Absolutely. They've canceled just about everything.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, no canceling this. The vice president is going to be at the White House for a very important message and a very important, I'm going to call it meeting, but a way to get the word out, so to speak, with women and a serious problem. What's his big passion lately?
Well, it's the Violence Against Women Act. Vice President Biden actually authored the original 1994 Act. And he's really stayed on top of this issue ever since. It's a really important issue to him. So he's headlining an event at the White House tomorrow to push for reauthorization of the act. And it's up in the Senate. It made its way out of the Senate Judiciary Committee, but on a party line vote, which is the first time it's had to do that. 10-8, I think the vote was. And that's really unusual because normally it gets full support. So, why is it that it's not getting support? Well, because they've expanded the act. And Senator Chuck Grassley and some conservative groups and a few other Republicans don't like it. Now, I have to say that the bill does have bipartisan sponsorship. Senator Pat Leahy, Mike Crapo, he's a Republican. There are 8 Republican co-sponsors. It has 60 sponsors. But what it's done is it's expanded protections against discrimination to LGBT people. And it has also extended some protections within the act to undocumented immigrants. And they don't like this.
Yeah. Yeah. And, wow, I didn't even realize that it had been that long. You said 1994.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
All right, so we'll see what happens, which direction the wind blows, I guess. Speaking of that, though, and moving on to something else, the Catholic bishops were pretty upset with Ryan's budget. There was a specific reason, though. I think one of the things was cuts to food stamps. Am I right?
That was one of the things. I mean, he started it in a way because he claimed that his Catholic faith shaped the budget and said the budget is consistent with Catholic teachings. And so the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops slapped a couple of letters out, one to the Ways and Means Committee, one to the Agriculture Committee, with more to come. And yes, they say that getting rid of food stamps is, give you an example of the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, this is one example, will hurt hungry children, poor families, vulnerable seniors, and workers who cannot find employment. These cuts are unjustified and wrong. They also talk about unacceptable cuts to hunger and nutrition programs for moral and human reasons, urging lawmakers to reject them. And they say, the bishops say, spending cuts should instead be made to subsidy programs that, quote, disproportionately go to large growers and agribusiness.
Wow. So disproportionately. Yeah. And the two letters were, did you say they just fired them off?
Yes, they went today to the House Agricultural Committee and the Ways and Means Committee, and they say that they have more letters to House committees addressing other aspects of the budget.
All right, so we'll see. We'll see if they get any relief from their pain, their moral outrage, so to speak. This is a big deal. The White House is threatening a veto of the highway bill, and the reason why is because of what, Victoria?
It's because of the Keystone Pipeline provision that's in there. You see, Republicans have put language in that mandates approval of the Keystone XL oil sands pipeline. So, once again, the president's going to say, no, you can't force me to do it. You can suggest it, and this has to go through a process. And the White House gave out a statement of policy today saying the bill circumvents a longstanding and proven process for determining blah, 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 whether in the national interest. So definitely they are threatening to veto it, and the House is going to vote tomorrow on keeping the transportation programs funded through September. If you remember, transportation bills didn't work. There was a bipartisan, truly bipartisan bill that passed the Senate with half the Republicans voting for it. That really is bipartisan. The House wouldn't take it up. The House was unable to get its own legislation through, so they had to pass an extension. So this is a vote on another extension.
All right, so we'll keep our eye on that vote to see what happens as we move through the week. And, of course, tomorrow's the big day for that. Victoria Jones, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
Thank you very much.
All right, coming up the rest of the show, a little bit more on the GSA and all the dysfunction, certainly smashing against the true boiling point. If they were a bunch of lobsters and we threw them into the pot, they'd be more than screaming at this point. It is tax day. Yes, depending on where you live, East Coast, you're plumb out of luck. Anywhere else, you're probably frantically trying to get those documents together. A nation of procrastinators. Also, some famous tax cheats. We're going to tell you about them next. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me. Cause I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. Should 5% appear too small?
5%?
Thankful.
Paul McCartney, I'd take that any day. So as we continue to struggle with who should pay the most taxes, at least when it comes to our representatives duking it out on the Hill, the actual taxes are due April 17th, a couple of extra days because it fell on the weekend, meaning the 15th, saw a new study, some new research that Dennis McMahon sent me that suggests we would rather keep the money. Really? You think? But paying taxes can make you feel good. So there's a scholarly paper published just in time for this tax season that says, and this is the Journal of Economic Psychology, they say people would prefer, of course, to keep a dollar than pay it in tax, but paying it in tax is not equivalent to throwing the money away. Oh, that's kind of semantics, isn't it? Even intellectuals would tell you that. So the argument is that while we'd rather use the bucks to buy a flat screen TV or even take a vacay, we do get some benefit from having to fork over cash to the government. I want you to call me right now if you agree with this Tony study that says, oh, we feel better. At least we're not flushing it away. We're not throwing it down the rabbit's hole. I know somebody out there can hear me. 855-266-KATE. 855-266-5283. To quote the guy who co-authored the study, he said, economists generally assume that human beings get zero utility from paying taxes. Zero utility is economic speak for you get no benefit out of it. But consumption gives you a lot of utility. If you buy an apple, it satisfies your hunger. So, going further, they say, we believe that paying taxes also gives you some utility. Doesn't this sound like such highbrow gobbledygook? Even though you're enjoying less consumption, you get some soft utility out of it. I don't know. I'm not getting any soft utility, but I guess it's because I don't have an economics degree from Harvard University, so I don't look at it that way. I look at taxes like everybody else as a pain in the rear end. Not that I don't want to pay my fair share of taxes, but the whole process of going through it, the rounds and rounds of tax deductions and figuring out what makes sense and did I do it right and all that other nonsense is a pain. I think, frankly, it gives me a big, giant headache. I don't know about the rest of you. I remember when I made only two nickels. Now I make three. When I made two, it was a lot easier. But even then, it was depressing to see it all on paper, I guess. So I don't know that I agree with this research, that the findings say that it's better. When you pay taxes, you feel better about it. And, you know, maybe it makes you feel like you want to work more, or if you have to pay more, you look at your money a little bit differently into the next season when you're thinking about next year. I think you're thinking about, why don't I get those loopholes that everybody else gets? I don't know. What about tax cheats? There's been a long line of very famous people who have skirted paying taxes and paid the price for it. One of the most notorious, and he's talked about all the time because this is the way the FBI was able to get him, Al Capone was chased forever and a day by those guys wearing the jackets with the three letters strung together. You know, the mobster finally did some jail time for failing, easy for me to say, to pay his taxes. For 4 years, he didn't pay them. So in 1931, he was sentenced to 11 years and an $80,000 fine. Capone joked that he couldn't be prosecuted because the government can't collect legal taxes on illegal money. Is that not the best line? How about this one? In more recent times, Richard Hatch, the Survivor winner, in fact, the first Survivor winner, failed to pay taxes on his $1 million grand prize. Ooh, that's a no-no. People forget when you go on game shows, you got to pay the taxes. So he didn't pay taxes. A million's a lot, too. He was convicted in 2006 of tax evasion. He was sentenced to 51 months in prison plus 3 years of supervised release after serving his sentence. This one I love the best. This one I love. The Queen of Mean, Leona Helmsley, found guilty of tax fraud in 1992, spent 4 years in prison after claiming $2.6 million in phony business expenses during her trial. A witness testified that Helmsley once said, "We don't pay taxes, only the little people pay taxes." And that cost her big time. People, I don't know that people were embracing her before, but they certainly weren't. After that, it became a massive joke. How about the former Tyco CEO, Dennis Kozlowski, who was indicted for failing to pay New York sales tax on $13 million worth of paintings for his Manhattan apartment? He's in the middle of a 25-year sentence. In fact, he was just up for parole and they denied it. Wesley Snipes, you know him from the movies. I don't think a lot of people believe Snipes would go down. But back in 2006, he was indicted on 8 counts of tax fraud, found guilty, sentenced back in 2008 to 3 years in prison. And it was basically determined that he had not filed federal income tax returns. You ready for this? I'm Wesley. I don't have to do it. From 1999 to 2007, he owed the IRS $20 million in back taxes. This is beautiful. On the day he was sentenced, he paid $5 million to the IRS. He allegedly tried getting fraudulent tax refunds using the 861 argument, a theory that domestic income is not taxable. Oh, we only wish. The IRS sent Willie Nelson, Mr. On the Road Again, after he owed $16.7 million in back taxes. They sent him lots of notices. It led to the IRS in 1990 confiscating and auctioning off his assets. Tim Geithner, Tiny Tim, boy, I'm telling you, president should have pink-slipped him a long time ago, blamed TurboTax for not paying almost $40,000 plus $15,000 in interest for his tax problems, 2001 to 2004. And then he's the Secretary of the Treasury. You got to be kidding me. Maybe that's our problem. How about this? Nancy Kilfer, who was supposed to be Obama's performance czar, had to step aside after it was revealed she didn't pay taxes on domestic help for over a year. Tom Daschle didn't pay taxes on $83,000 that he earned as a consultant to Intermedia Partners in 2007. This was allegedly discovered by Senator Daschle's accountant in 2008. So you know what happened there, because this was the whole, all these things were unraveling at one time. So he took tax deductions for $14,000 and change in donations that he made between 2005 and 2007 that didn't meet the requirements for being tax deductible. He paid the 3 years of owed taxes and interest. You know how much it was? $140,167 in January of 2009. But bet you didn't know this. Walter Anderson's case is the largest tax evasion case in the history of the U.S. This former telecommunications exec was accused of hiding his earnings through the use of aliases, offshore bank accounts, shell companies. In 2006, Anderson entered a guilty plea in which he admitted to hiding approximately $365 million worth of income. He was sentenced to 9 years in prison and restitution of $200 million bucks. And finally, our last one, Joe Francis. You know, come on, guys. Girls Gone Wild. You have a teenage daughter, you pray she doesn't end up on one of these videos. He's the creator of that, made a fortune. So in 2007, he was charged with felony tax evasion for reportedly filing false corporate tax returns. The authorities accused Francis of filing over $20 million worth of false business expenses in order to keep from paying taxes. A guilty plea allowed him to escape the felony charges. So $20 million. The guy was making a fortune. He's got a house in Mexico that Jennifer Aniston and a whole bunch of other celebrities go to. And forever they were chasing him down, and they were able to nail him for that. I'm sure his attorneys advised him, you better just cop to it because it's a whole bunch of money. And a lot of people already don't like you because of how you made that money. Know any other tax cheats that might have left off the list? Send them to me at americantonight.net. Or, before we get out of this hour, give us a call, 855-266-8, 855-266-5283. Stephen Showhead waiting in the wings, our man in Hollywood. We're talking musicals next.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in. That's almost one per block. Will that one home be yours? Well, I found an amazing little gadget to keep the bad guys fooled, and it's called Fake TV. Fake TV is a low-cost, small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV. When you go on summer vacation, yes, get rid of the obvious signs you're away by stopping the mail and the paper, but go a step further in fooling crooks with Fake TV. At only $34.95, what? That can't be right. Yes, for only $34.95, Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked and all your possessions gone. Fake TV simulates the light from a real TV and can be programmed just like a lamp on a timer. Use Fake TV in any room for just $34.95 and get additional Fake TVs for only $29.95. Go to FakeTV.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV, 877-5-FAKE-TV, or go to FakeTV.com. For safety, security, and peace of mind, use Fake TV.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant in your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feel, and I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above, and the sun's in my heart, and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place.
It probably felt like a rainy day.
Along with a rain.
For a lot of people across America, because they were crying tears of pain as they rapidly filled out tax forms to try to get their taxes in on time. So you have a little bit more time if you're listening to us on the West Coast, and that's where we're headed right now. So our man in Hollywood, Stephen Shohet, the author of Hollywood Story Short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. Singing in the Rain, when you rank musicals, has to be one of the top five. What do you think, Stephen, makes your top five?
Yeah, maybe my top ten. I prefer musicals with stronger storylines, but it certainly is up there with great musical numbers and pieces. One of the things that happened with that was Arthur Freed, who ran one of the big production units at MGM Studios, had a number of songs that he had written in the 1920s and wanted to make a musical out of them. And the two writers he hired, Betty Condon and Adolph Green, they had no idea how to do it because the songs just didn't really seem to connect to a story at all. And so finally they came up with the idea that since it was written in the 1920s, most of these songs, including the song Singing in the Rain that had been in a couple of movies, that it should be something that takes place in that era. And they came up with the idea of a very similar to the artist of a silent film star whose career is threatened by the coming of the talkies. And then they got Gene Kelly involved, and the one thing Gene Kelly couldn't believe was why did they want to call it Singing in the Rain? Arthur Freed wanted to call the movie Singing in the Rain, and Gene Kelly said, well, what's that mean? You know, I mean, he understood the song, but he thought that the audience would be totally confused by it. But it turned out, despite all the difficulties, to be one of the most popular films of all time. And maybe that song and the way Gene Kelly presented it might have been the most popular musical number of all time. In a film musical.
Yeah. Was Debbie Reynolds the first choice there or no?
Well, that depends on who you believe. The story that Debbie Reynolds told was that she was called to Louis B. Mayer's office at the age of 19, and Gene Kelly came in, and they both were cordial to each other, Mayer and Kelly, even though they had their disputes in the past. And then Mayer said, here's the girl for your new movie, Singing in the Rain. And Kelly said, well, what has she done, LB? And he kept asking her, can you do this dance step? Can you do that dance step? And she was totally green. And Kelly said to Louis B. Mayer, what have you done to me? You can't push this girl on me. Now, according to Gene Kelly, not true. He had seen Debbie Reynolds perform, and he wanted her from the very beginning, and she was the only one he wanted. So it's two very different tellings of that story. But the one thing they both agreed on was that there was no way at the beginning of the movie that Debbie Reynolds was able to dance and keep up with Gene Kelly and with Donald O'Connor. And Gene Kelly was a ferocious taskmaster and made her do it again and again and again, all those dance numbers. And that was a different time because everybody was under contract, and it was much tougher for actresses than actors generally because they had to be on the set at 4 in the morning to get their hair done. It was just very difficult. There were some times where Debbie Reynolds, who took 3 buses to get to MGM, would just sleep over at the studio. And there was one time where she got so upset that she hid from Gene Kelly so he wouldn't find her, and she was hiding behind a piano. Somebody came over and saw her, looked under the piano leg, saw her hiding there, and said, you know, don't cry. I know it's difficult, but it's difficult for me too, but I work at it. And if you come and watch me do it, I think it'll help you. And it turned out to be Fred Astaire.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty good teacher, I think. Fred Astaire.
Yeah. Well, he was different than Gene Kelly. I mean, he had a temper too, but he was much less likely to yell and be tough than Gene Kelly was. And of course, both Fred Astaire and Gene Kelly had great admiration for each other, and they both had the different approaches to dancing. I mean, Gene Kelly, really what he wanted to do in life was be a hockey player. And he always said, I'm a better hockey player than I am a dancer. And he, as a kid, he got into some fights because his mom took him to do dance lessons. So at first he resisted doing it, but then when his sister was at a dance recital, he started thinking, you know, I could go up there and just take over this thing. And he, of course, when he was in the movies, he started doing amazing acrobatic things. And yet he was always kind of jealous of Fred Astaire because he thought he came off like a cab driver, where Fred Astaire came off as this elegant guy. But I think, you know, they both were so unique, and neither one of them could really explain their techniques because they were both so impulsive and just sort of making up things as they went along. But the person in that movie who really made something up that was wild was Donald O'Connor with the Make 'em Laugh sequence, which is still going strong today. I mean, they did it on Glee. And that was based on a lot of different things. Donald O'Connor had a story that one time he was on a train, and this man came over and put his hand on Donald O'Connor's knee, and he slapped the hand away, and the man kept doing it. And finally, Donald O'Connor decked him. Well, he said, you know, nothing in my life was ever wasted. So he did the same thing with the little mannequin in the movie Singing in the Rain, where he's putting his hand on the mannequin's knee. And the other thing was that he spun around in that scene, and he borrowed it from Curly of the Three Stooges. And Curly was very sick at the time, and he actually called him up and said, would you mind if I use your spinning top technique in Singing in the Rain? He said, absolutely not. And, you know, he got to do it. And then, you know, that turned out to be his showcase number. And then the actual Singing in the Rain, Gene Kelly actually had 103 degree fever, and it took a lot longer because people in Culver City, when they came home and turned on the sprinklers, it reduced the water pressure at the studio, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. So Gene Kelly kept going out trying to get some sunshine, and because he was really worried about being sick, but he got through it, and they all got through it, and obviously it was great results.
Yeah. Looking at the musicals then and the popularity of musicals, do you think they'll ever resonate again in this era where it's, you know, high tech and 3D and everything else? You think we'll ever see the musicals bounce back?
I'll tell you, people still love musicals. The whole thing, one of the things that was a problem was audiences came to the audience were, or at least movie makers felt that audiences were less likely to suspend disbelief. I mean, like in the early days of MGM, when they'd make a movie in Paris, they'd do something like show a body of water that wasn't there geographically, and somebody would complain, and somebody else, like one of the producers, Irving Thalberg, would say, you know, don't worry about it. Nobody's going to notice that. And they got absolutely no letters of complaint whatsoever. But now, if you do something like that, if you're geographically wrong and you're showing a city, people are going to yell about it on the internet, quite frankly. So in the 50s, what happened was is those musicals got too expensive to produce. And also another thing that was happening was that music was becoming a bigger thing in dramatic movies, that music at first was played down a little bit, and it became bigger and bigger to help the movie along. Like an example was the movie The Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. Well, when they have the Exodus scene in that movie, all the animals and people are moving very slowly. And Cecil B. DeMille told his composer, Elmer Bernstein, to really speed up the music and go for the emotion of the scene rather than trying to accompany the actual movement. And so composing for drama became a bigger thing than having these film musicals like Singing in the Rain or An American in Paris. It was just the way things were going. So after that, they felt more confident doing musicals that were already established on stage, like Fiddler on the Roof or Oliver or West Side Story, than they did making up their own musicals like Singing in the Rain was. So I don't think something like that Singing in the Rain time period will come back. But I do think musicals will always have an interest for people. I think it's going to be a case where the filmmakers will feel more comfortable if they can explain it, like a movie like Chicago, where it's all in Renee Zellweger's mind that the people are bursting out singing. Or you know, Glee, obviously, where you have a reason for them to burst out singing. I think there's going to be they're going to feel better if they have some justification for the music, and maybe that'll be, that'll probably be the way that they go.
Yeah, makes sense. Always fascinating, great storyteller. Stephen Shohet, we'll talk to you again next week.
Oh, you got it, Kate. HollywoodStories.com.
Excellent. Thanks, Stephen.
You got it.
Coming up this week on DVD, in fact, you might already have picked up your copy of Ghost Protocol, but Mission Impossible, I think it was excellent. I saw it in the theater, and it would definitely translate on your smaller screen. Born to be Wild, The Divide, and Shame, the big releases, but absolutely Tom Cruise nails it in the last Mission Impossible. Completely worth the rental. It's only a couple of dollars anyway. Odds and Ends coming up on the flip side.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
As we head for the exits of this hour of America tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Remember, we have a new number, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Call me if you have tax problems. No, I'm kidding. Call me if you want to throw in your 2 cents. The GSA, such an easy target, isn't it? It's like the bullseye was moved up right to where I released the dart. Poof. No effort. I've been playing a lot of darts lately, and I have a kind of a unique throw. Here, I don't even have to throw the dart. I just have to barely push it, and it's right there in the bullseye. For anyone, actually, because these idiots really set themselves up, is exactly what I said at the top of the show, if you were tuned in then when I was talking to Victoria Jones. It is kind of a laugher, though. If I was in Washington and I could take my little snack into the hearing and watch it, it would be better than anything on the big screen right now. So day two, and what happens is the Daryl Ices of the world are accusing the common folk of the GSA for really stretching the money. Can you imagine? They went to the South Pacific. They took a couple of trips there. I mean, every week some new nonsense comes out. It's more than a scandal, but it is a laugher. So here's the deal. Jeff Neely and his wife went to jet setting to the South Pacific on our money, basically, because his wife does not work for the government. Government employees can't take their wives with them when they go on these trips that might be in nice areas, exotic areas. So figure out a reason to go there, bring your wife, and there you go. So it seems that Vegas was just the tip of the iceberg as far as dumping dollars down the drain, because there were a ton of trips. 17-day excursions where they went to, Neely and his wife went to Guam, Hawaii, and all kinds of locations. And it happened over and over and over and over again. I mean, he was like the little prince. He was set up. It was his kingdom. He's like the man in the black hat, Jack Abramoff. He had 9 pre-planning trips for the Vegas conference in 2010. If it takes you 9 trips to set up a conference, something, my friends, is sorely missing. You can do it on the phone. You could do it virtually. Are you kidding me? So it costs us more than $820,000, but then you throw in those other trips too. And if it's a bullseye for me, it's a bullseye for anybody who is part of this hearing, part of this panel. So Congressman Jeff Denham, Republican from California, said, where crimes have been committed, people will go to jail, saying that we deserve to be repaid for the expenses. And so now that the Inspector General's report has come out, it makes your skin crawl kind of when you go through all these lists of things. The iPods that were missing, the extravagant trips. Here's what I love the best, though. So there's like 40 iPods that are stolen, and they find some of them, and this is the best. They trace, because of downloads and trying to figure out how to find out what might have happened to the iPods, they trace the iPod to Neely. His daughter was downloading iTunes. So they found, oh, well, yes, naturally. It's like stealing a pen, only it costs a lot more money. So I walked out with some iPods, and he walked away with a lot of things. And I'm telling you, he needs to do some jail time, but he's not the only one. Anybody else who benefited from some of this nonsense, it's easy to bash. It's easy to hit this bullseye, but they got to hit it. They've got to criminally charge him and others. And Inspector General Brian Miller was the guy who opened up this can of whoop you know what on Neely, because it was his report that really set things off. And it's just the scope of it. Every time they turn around, it's the scope of how many things they got away with. Now, wonder why they were cutting videos and mocking the government and talking about the fact that we might as well get away with it while we can. It was just a big, fat slush fund. Crazy. And nobody noticed. No, I mean, there's no questions. Hey, we're going on these 7-day trips. I don't get it. I don't get that. Well, I guess I get it. I shouldn't say that. Because there's no oversight, which is always the problem. And then it's about the reaction. And it's such a layup to have a nasty reaction to this when you're a government, employee in a different level, like the legislative level, because who's not going to be upset by that? Who's going to come forward and say, oh, well, you know, they were there for the opening of a building or two, and that was really, really, really important, really important. Let's hit on a couple of other things that made some news in our backyard besides the GSA. The GSA was definitely the light fare after all the conversations about what they've uncovered, but there were big conversations about oil reserves and whether or not they would be tapped. You know, this is that push-pull over the price of gasoline in my neck of the woods, $3.81. What are you paying at the pumps? Are you feeling the pain and squealing about it again? And what happened was several key players, and one big one from the Obama administration, sounded off about why we shouldn't release oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve just because of high gas prices, because ultimately what would it cost us as we tap into them and try to rebuild the source, and, you know, that this wasn't the right way to go. No, the right way to go is to keep paying more at the pump and complaining about it and saying, well, we can't lift the moratoriums. We can't just drill, baby, drill. Let the Chinese get all the oil. Let them take all the oil away. We just went to Latin America. They've got all kinds of deals going, and we don't want to have a deal where we're actually benefiting from it. Warren Buffett's name has been tossed around a lot because of the Buffett rule that was just voted down the other day in the Senate. And a day later, and on tax day, Warren Buffett announces he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. But the wise Buddha was quick to tell people who were panicked that they might lose Warren Buffett, the CEO of Berkshire Hathaway, that it's stage one that he has. Stage one. He said he's gone under a bunch of tests recently, including a CAT scan, bone scan, and MRI, and there's no evidence of cancer anywhere else. And he said he's otherwise healthy, and his energy levels are terrific. They uncovered it. He's going to get treatment for it. He says it's not life-threatening. It is stage one cancer. So he disclosed this in his annual letter to the shareholders because ultimately, he had selected a candidate to take on the role of chief executive when he decides to step down. So, you know, when you hear the word cancer and your stock is trading high, sometimes that can send things toppling. And it actually, the shares slipped a little bit, but finished up on the day. They were up like 1.5% for what it's worth. I thought I'd throw that in there. Everybody's talking about, and this is a great odds or ends, because again, talking about taxes and whatnot. Everybody's talking about Facebook and when it's going to IPO. And you know what that is, of course, initial public offering, going from a private company to a public company. And I just happened to come across a little news item about Bono, you know, the lead man for U2, and apparently there are a couple of people who are set to make billions from it, including Bono. The LinkedIn founder, Reid Hoffman, also will make a ton of money as well because of the money that they have invested in it and what they have at stake here. So it's not just those guys, though. Everybody who works for Mark Zuckerberg, they are set for life. Any thoughts on the show, send them to me, americatonight.net.